Good evening. As we announced this morning, I want to take some time this evening to review the trip that Steve Walker and I were blessed to take to preach the gospel in Ghana, Africa, and I'm glad that you're here this evening. As you may have noticed, I'm not wearing my normal coat and tie. This shirt was made by one of the church members, by one of the ladies, and I didn't ask her for that. She just made it out of her own generosity. She does that for her business. I'll show you a picture of her later. But I'm so glad she did that. That was a very nice gift. She did that by just sizing me up, and I thought she did a pretty good job. She didn't take any measurements, so she must be good at what she does. But thank you for being here this evening. First of all, I want to thank the elders of the congregation here, and the members for allowing me to go. I had a lesson before we left on the work of the church. And I made mention in the New Testament that the local church can engage in evangelism in three different ways. And I'm blessed here at Warfield that we're doing it in all three of those ways. Now, when a local congregation cannot do that, that doesn't mean that they're faltering in any way. But we are blessed and we have the talent and the gifts and the resources to do that in all three ways. Number one, to evangelize in the local community. Number two, to send someone to another area. And then number three, to support someone in another area. And we're doing all three of those things. And what a blessing and a credit to you for being able to do that. In the scripture reading in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas came back from their first preaching trip, they gathered the church together and they gave a report. And in that vein, and following that example, I want to give a report this evening of the work that Steve and I were able to do in Ghana this year. This was our second year to be there. But I wanted to notice something in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. They rehearsed all things that God had done with them. Tonight is not about me, and tonight is not about other men. It's about what God does through us. Ultimately, God is working. Yes, we use our talents and we use our resources, and I enjoy doing that kind of thing. But ultimately, it is God that is working in and through us, and He gets the glory. And, number two, that He, God, had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. We'll talk about a particular open door this evening that has been made in Ghana. So let us begin. On August the 1st, we left Nashville. We flew to JFK, and then from JFK, some 10 hours later, to Accra. We arrived in Accra, local Ghana time, at 2:15 on August the 2nd. It's a very long trip. And some of you have traveled overseas, and that's probably the only thing I don't like about the trip is the flight. Love everything else. Seems like it's a little worse going over than coming back. Ghana, Africa, of course, is located in the western region of Africa, over in this little area right here. And the Karyes came from Liberia, right here. And you can talk with them about that. But Ghana is right here. And we flew straight into Accra, which is the capital city there of Ghana. It is a peaceful country. It is a peace-loving country. Everybody is very kind, even those who are not members of the church. Very helpful, very kind. They're always wanting to help you and do something for you. Thank you, Bob. So, Ghana, when you look at the country itself, we stayed primarily in the very southern, and this is called the central region. It's divided up into regions. We're in the central region, just right along the coast. So you fly into Accra, and you go down this N1, National 1 highway, down to Cape Coast. We spent about a week and a half in Cape Coast, and then we came back up to the outskirts of Accra, and we spent the rest of our time there. So we're in the southern and central region of Ghana. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19. I always need to recall, as I've just mentioned, that this is God working. But we need to always keep in mind that we do things based upon God's will. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. And we cannot do any of this without the Lord's will, without the Lord's protection, guidance, providential care. And so they use that expression a lot, if the Lord wills. And of course, we need to be using that as well. Nothing will happen without ultimately the Lord's will. So it was good to come to them again this year, and that by the Lord's will. We got started quickly in our teaching. The first two full days of teaching, August the 3rd and the 4th, were primary studies on institutionalism with Dan and Benjamin. Daniel Arthur, I have known for about 8 years, and Benjamin Nkrumah, whom we support, I've known him since last year. This was all day teaching, and then I preached at night at a separate congregation. Daniel teaches at the Aswichi congregation, and at night I was at a different congregation in Confoua, and I preached on local church membership on August the 3rd and Christian maturity on August the 4th. We make sure that there's translation at each sermon. Not because they don't understand English. They all have to learn English in school growing up. The older folks don't know the English as well. The younger people know English better. But just so that everybody gets it, we make sure that they hear that in their own language, which is traditionally two different languages there. One is called Fanti. The other one is called Tree. During the daytime, Steve and I studied with Daniel and Benjamin on institutionalism, just to remind ourselves of that. That was unfortunately exported from here in the 1950s and 1960s all around the world. Brethren divided here in the United States right after World War II over how the work of the church would be done. Some said that the work of the church is to be done by the local church only. Others said it was the local church and churches of Christ building separate institutions. So it could be hospitals, colleges, orphanages, other kinds of institutions. Daniel and Benjamin, just like everybody else in Ghana, that's all they've grown up with their entire life, is that institutional background. They've never known anything different. And starting last year, and even before going last year, I studied by phone and email with Daniel over many of these kinds of lessons. And we did it much more this time. And I really appreciate these men taking the time to study these things. And they are willing to leave these things that they've done before. They're willing to practice the truth of the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 Peter 5, 2. One thing that is going on in Ghana is, and again, we exported this, unfortunately, all around the world in the 1950s, and that is that elders in a local church in America will actually watch over things in other countries. That's a violation of 1 Peter 5, 2. Elders are supposed to tend the flock of God which is among you. Elders are to watch over the work only in the local church over which they oversee. But starting in the 1950s and 1960s, American eldership started watching over things in other countries. And they violated 1 Peter 5, 2 by doing that. Well, that's all these Ghana brethren have ever known. And as we teach the truth on these matters, they understand that they should not be practicing those kinds of things. So 1 Peter 5, 2 was studied quite a bit, what has been called the sponsoring church eldership. Elders in America will sponsor some work in some other country, and then everybody in America sends to that church in America, and then that eldership controls things in other countries, in addition to their own local church. So we talked and studied quite a bit about 1 Peter 5, 2 and other passages dealing with the eldership. And then we studied passages that talk about the local church doing the work, not a local church and some separate Church of Christ institution. Those studies went very well, and I commend both Daniel and Benjamin for being willing to study those kinds of things and be willing to make any changes that they need to make, and they are doing that. And already Daniel has gotten heat from some in America and some local Ghanaian preachers over these very matters, but he's willing to stand for what is right and true. One reason why we wanted to study with Benjamin and Daniel on the 3rd and on the 4th is because eventually 4 other gospel preachers would join us. This is one of the lobbies of the hotel that we were staying in. We would start in the morning and go until the afternoon. We would take a brief break for lunch. But these other 4 preachers that attended, they were willing to sit and listen and study, and they too want to make the necessary changes. They will basically say, we just want to follow the New Testament pattern. And Jeff talked about this morning in the Bible class, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound words. And if the pattern is local church elders watching over only the local church, then we need to follow that pattern. And if the pattern does not include separate human institutions, then we do not need to have those things. And they're willing to follow that. But that was through lengthy studies. So it was great not only to have Benjamin and Daniel, but also to have these other men. There's Benjamin Nkrumah, whom we support. And this is the back of Daniel's head right here. But they sat in on those lessons, having just heard us the day before go through that all of that again. They sat and listened to it one more time. And I appreciate all of the men who showed up and were willing to study those things. We did some study as well in our room. And Steve had some really good charts on the sponsoring church and institutionalism on his laptop, and we did some study there as well. Benjamin on the left, Daniel Arthur on the right, Benjamin Nkrumah on the left. That night I spoke at Inconfoy. You can see a lot of their church buildings are made out of brick and mortar, or block, cinder block, excuse me, not brick, but block. Concrete floors, a lot of plastic chairs. We have comfortable pews and air conditioning and heating and all of that. They don't have any of that. It was very warm in there. You take a concrete block structure sitting out in the sun all day, you can imagine what it would be like at night. You basically open the door. It's been turned on 350 degrees, right? And you bake for 25 minutes is basically what happens. Or however long Chris decides to preach. But it's kind of like an oven in there. But the brethren love to assemble together. They're gathering together for that Inconfoy congregation. Again, the first night was on Christian responsibilities, and the second night was on Christian maturity. They do not have PowerPoint, so I was using a marker board, and I'm left-handed. And using your left hand in Ghana is a big no-no. And you just don't do that. Well, I'm writing with my left hand, and they have question and answer period afterwards. And there was a brother, he was kind of over in this area, back in here. He stood up. He said, I've got a question. Yes, brother? Why do you write with your left hand? And how many people in America are left-handed? So, good brethren to be with them. A couple of young men, hopefully future leaders in the church one day in Ghana. After the service, I had to get a picture with them. This is a common dish that Teresa, Daniel's wife, made for us. Chicken in the middle, potatoes, some egg, some scrambled egg. Those balls that look like hush puppies, those are packed together like beans. That have been mashed together and then deep fried. So that was one of the meals that she made for us. On August the 5th, Saturday the 5th, Steve and I preached at the Oswiecie congregation a lectureship for men. Again, on some subjects that deal with Bible authority, because they have a big need for that right now. And there has been an open door, I believe, in Ghana to teach on these things and to bring these things up again after some 60 years or almost 70 years. And it's very good that we're having the opportunity to do that. So I preached on the silence of the Scriptures and hold fast the pattern in the afternoon. I spoke on two subjects, and I believe Steve spoke on a couple of other subjects as well. Daniel and Benjamin translated. There were about 85 men in attendance. And again, we were focusing specifically on matters of Bible authority. And the men came and stayed all day and listened to that. And even some of the men that were with us earlier stayed for that. And so they got a really good dosage of some lessons on Bible authority. I cannot stress enough for even us here today, as parents and grandparents, as church leaders, Bible class teachers, we have to keep teaching on matters of Bible authority. Very, very important. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18 and verse 26. One thing that came to my mind with regard to the first few days was the role that Priscilla and Aquila played with Apollos. And I think of that when I think about Steve and I teaching on these particular matters. These men and women in Ghana are very faithful. They're very much aware of their Bible, and they read their Bibles, and they study their Bibles. But we know from Apollos, verse 24, Acts 18, 24, he was mighty in the Scriptures. Notice in verse 25, he had a fervent attitude. He was fervent in spirit. He was gung-ho. He was on fire. Okay? And when he did teach, verse 25, it was accurate. But Priscilla and Aquila, when they heard him, verse 26, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. There's some more details you need to know. There's some more scriptures you need to understand. So notice that you can really know your Bible, verse 24, and you can have a great positive attitude, verse 25. When you do talk, you can be accurate, but you need some more information. And that's how I view the work that Steve and I did the first few days. And that we're going to do that again, you know, a couple of weeks later when we get to where Benjamin is at. It's this idea of expounding unto them the way of God more accurately. We've got to come back and be careful and follow God's word precisely in these areas. On Sunday, August the 6th, we got up early for the radio program, just like we did last year. We got up about 3:30, and we were on the radio at 5 p.m. We were talking about marriage responsibilities. I told Daniel, that should be 5 a.m., I'm sorry. I wish it were 5 p.m. I would have been more coherent. But at 5 a.m., I told Daniel, I may not be giving the proper scriptural answers to these things at 5 a.m., but I did my best. So at 5 a.m., we spoke on marriage responsibilities, and I'm going to talk a little bit later about that as well. Then there was the Aswichi Church service in the morning. I believe they start about 8 o'clock. I taught the visitors class, which is kind of neat. They have a visitors class, but really it's a class for non-Christians. If you're old enough to be a Christian and you're not, from a young person all the way up to an adult, you're in this particular class every Sunday, and that's a very good thing, I think. I taught that class on why be a Christian, and Benjamin translated for me. An older lady, Janet Owusua, wanted to be baptized. She wanted to obey and be baptized after the service. During the service, I preached on what to expect from the worship service, taking that from Isaiah's vision of a holy God in Isaiah chapter 6, and Dan translated. After the service, we did some counseling in the morning before breaking for lunch. This is Daniel and Teresa, who labor with the Aswichi congregation, and the two children that are still at home, Rachel and Danny. They have an older daughter that's in another town at a high school, private high school. Daniel is doing a good work. He's a hard worker. He does a lot. He takes on a big congregation without elders and deacons. They have over 100 members there, and there's just a lot that he's responsible for, and he does a good job with that. Here I am sitting in the back during the worship service. The children sit in the back by themselves. It's kind of a tradition that they have. This would be the little bit older children. There was a younger group right beside them. I thought, well, I'm about their age. I can fit in with them. So I sat back with them. After the service, Janet was baptized. Here's their baptistry. It looks a little bit different than ours. But Daniel is baptizing Janet. Her husband is a member of the church. They came out of the Pentecostal church. Her husband was already a member, and she wanted to be baptized that day. There were 6 baptisms during this trip. I was a part of teaching specifically or personally 4 of them. And I want to tell you that the attitude is so commendable. They simply hear the lesson. They agree with it. And they say, I want to be baptized. It's refreshing to see that. No arguing, no questioning, no I don't know, and delay. And all. They just say, I need to be baptized. It's very refreshing. And we all need to be more like that. We allow things to get in the way of just the simple obedience to the message. I just need to do what I've been told. And during the class, Janet was sitting there. We were outdoors, and some other young people were sitting there. And when we got done, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. I just simply asked the question when the eunuch said, behold, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He's telling Philip, he's asking Philip, here is water, what hinders me? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so I just brought up Acts 8:36. I said, what's hindering y'all? What's hindering you? And they, you know, kind of looked around. And I just sat there. And we're just going to sit there. It gets a little awkward, you know. And finally, Janet said, I don't need to be hindered anymore. I just need to be baptized. And so we went and did that. I did that same approach on all 4 of the ones that I talked to, and all 4 of them were baptized. Just, why are we waiting? Why are we putting this off? Let me back up a little bit here. So she was baptized. Right after the morning service, we did some counseling, and there were some women that we were talking to inside the meeting place, and then this young man, his father died. And he's about 13 or 14 years old. And his mother said, he's at that age now where things are getting challenging for a young person, especially without their father. Could you please talk with him? And he needs to become a Christian. But we did some counseling. Counseling tends to be a lot on marriage issues. And I will have something to say about that later. And other kinds of personal issues. These were just some young children that were outside the church service after that particular worship service. Monday, August the 7th, and Tuesday, August the 8th. I visited a little bit with Benjamin since we support him. I tried to spend some time, especially studying with him, encouraging him. We attend the baptism of Emma. I've got some pictures. I believe it was Steve that studied with her, and she was baptized into Christ. I teach the ladies' Bible class at a switchy on Ruth at night. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night was a 3-part series on the book of Ruth. I really enjoyed going through that with them. I called it 3 Days in the Life of Ruth. Joyce, one of the ladies there, translated for me, and Cecilia reads the Fonte Bible really well. She read, I would read in English and she would read in Fonte. On Tuesday, we visited Isaac and his wife, Janet. She was the one that was baptized on Sunday, and we encouraged them as new Christians. We answered several questions. They had left the Pentecostal church and had some more questions about that. There was an unfaithful Christian sister that lived nearby, and we went and talked with her and trying to encourage her, and then I taught again the ladies' Bible class that night. This is Emma. Steve and others had had some discussion with her. She's from Cameroon, which if you go east of Ghana, a couple of countries over, about 3 countries over, go around that curve, you'll get to Cameroon. She had come to Ghana because her mother-in-law had died. And so they came to Ghana, and then her husband because they borrowed a bunch of money to get to his mother's funeral, he went off somewhere and started working, and she's just completely by herself at Cape Coast. She lives up on a hill, and down the hill is the Oswiecie Church building. And one Sunday, she was outside her house, and she heard him singing down there. She heard him singing. And so she said to her daughter, "Why don't we go down there and see what's going on?" So that's been just this summer. So they've been going down there each week, listening to the lessons and so forth, because it started off with her hearing them singing, which is really neat. It reminds me of Acts 16, when Paul and Silas are singing there in the jail, and she was baptized while we were there. She does not have hardly anything. So with the great benevolence that y'all gave me, I gave some of that to her for some food. She is just, she's borrowed these clothes. She has very little to eat, and she's got children. So we're having a prayer with her after the baptism, and I love this. This is not this woman's child. It actually belongs to Emma, but she's holding that little child there. That's how they carry the little children on their back. And Emma's a great woman. Please pray for her, and please pray for Janet. These are new Christians. She has two little girls, and they started coming to the ladies' class that night. On Tuesday, we visited Janet. She was the one on the left that was baptized, and her husband, and Isaac. They are a great couple. They've got the grandchild there. And we had a really good Bible study with them, and were able to encourage them. Of course, anytime I can get my hands on the little kids, I try to do that. That night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, was a three-part series on the book of Ruth. This is a Joyce who is translating for me, and it's a great group of women. I love the ladies' Bible class. Up front, here on the left-hand side of this picture, I'm sorry, the right-hand side of this is Cecilia. She's reading the Fonte Bible, and we had a very good study. And this is all of them one night during that series. Ramona knows Joyce Aban down here. She's a school teacher, and it's just a great group of women. Let me say something before I move on. Here's the picture of Joyce and I, another Joyce. She's a very good, her English is very good, and so she helped me. Let me say something about this situation. Both Steve and I ran into the same situation, both where Daniel preaches and where Benjamin preaches. After the studies, there's always a long period of time for question and answer. And the ladies at both places brought this up quite a bit, and that is with regard to their marriage. That, and some of them have it going on personally in their own lives. Some of them know some close to them where it's going on. Where the man will marry a woman, and because it's a poor country, it's hard to get work and so forth. And they will often very quickly move away and really never come back. They will start working in the U.S. Some of them go to the U.K. Some of them are going to Dubai. Some of them are going to other places, Nigeria, Kenya. And they're just not coming back. And the women are struggling because they're just by themselves. Often they're raising the kids by themselves. The man is gone. And it's almost become an epidemic. It's just everywhere. And they're very bothered by that. They're very hurt by that. And so a lot of the questions dealt with that. The other dealt with the fact of just Ephesians chapter 5. Steve and I preached a lot on Ephesians 5, where the husband is to love his wife and cherish her as her own body. When you talk like that to them, they all just kind of burst out laughing. Ha ha, my husband's going to cherish me? Right. Ha ha. Because there's no affection, there's no close love, there's no showing of affection. You sometimes don't even sit with your spouse. You just sort of exist. You just go through life kind of existing. And so a lot of the questions and comments and help regarded you know, my husband is never around, or even if he is, there's just nothing there. And so it's a very big problem. And so we actually, in addition, for example, in addition to teaching on Ruth and the text of Ruth, we tried to work with these other things that were being brought to our attention, and I hope that we can help with that. On August the 9th and on August the 10th, I studied with Oscar Say, and Steve was there as well. His wife is a member of the church, but he is not. And we studied with him. He was baptized. Again, I taught the ladies' Bible class at night. On the 10th, Daniel and I and Steve and Ben discussed future plans for work in Ghana. We had some time to do that. Benjamin and I did some study while Steve was studying with Daniel. Benjamin and I did some study on the book of Revelation. He and I are going through the book of Revelation every Friday on a Zoom session here that I have. We support Mario in the Philippines, and so I study with Mario Zoom on Tuesdays. We're going through the book of Matthew, and then with Benjamin on Friday on the book of Revelation. And we've gotten up to, we just finished Revelation chapter 11. So we did some more of that Revelation study on that particular morning. Now I move to the men's class. I taught the men's study at night on the character of Christian men. Well, having taught the ladies on Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and kind of heard their side of the story, so what do you think I'm going to do with the men? The men are going to, they're going to get a little bit. So on Wednesday night and Thursday night, on the character of Christian men, the lesson was just simply the Christian man as a father, as a husband, as at work, with his money, with his time, as a neighbor, as a member of the church, just the different responsibilities that men have as Christians. And that study went really well. This is the study in the little, I guess you could call it a little foyer area between two apartments. There's Oscar, and we're studying with him. And again, at the end, I just said, what's the holdup? What's the weight? Especially, he had studied before on these matters, and he wanted to be baptized. This is the only time I've ever been to a baptism where the one being baptized had to push the car to get to the body of water. So Benjamin and Oscar are out front pushing the car. It had rained that day and it got really muddy. Steve's in the car and the driver. I had gotten out, Oscar had gotten out, and Benjamin had gotten out. And they're still having to push there. So in order to become a new creature in Christ, he had to push the car out of the mud so that he could become a new creature in Christ. There's Benjamin. If you can see in his hand there, he's got a little stick. What they do is they go down into the water and then they poke around and make sure that there's no holes or anything like that to fall into. A few weeks before getting there at the beginning of August, Benjamin had actually cut his foot pretty heavily on a rock doing a baptism. So they need to be careful. But there's Oscar, and Benjamin had baptized him into Christ. Please pray for him. On the men's studies, there was a little porch outside the Aswichi building that they have. I studied with the men there. And then on the 11th, I visited and talked with Dan and Teresa and encouraged them and different things that are going on in their life, tried to help them and encourage them, and then taught the men's class again. That night, we were on the other side of the building, outside, for the men's class. That evening was very pleasant, actually. The temperature was great. It was kind of cool for them. It was really nice for me. And you can see that poly tank there. That's very common. They don't have in many places where it's piped in and pressurized. It's gravity flow water. So that was a very good men's study. The man who translated for me each evening, his name is Amwa. He spent many years working for a U.S. mining company in Ghana. And so being around Americans for many years, his English is very good. On the 12th, which is a Saturday, we transferred to Sun City, about a three-hour trip. It's about the same distance from here to Nashville, but it takes 3 hours. roads are terrible, the traffic is bad, and it almost becomes a half a day just to go to Nashville type of thing. But they have the Sun City congregation has a Saturday evening prayer and song service. We attended that on Sunday morning, August the 13th. I taught the Bible class at Sun City on the subject of the perfect worship service. How the Israelites gathered together in Nehemiah chapter 8. They asked Ezra to bring the book of the law, and they were all attentive and respectful. And the good things that came out of that worship service. I taught the men's class on the subject of members of the body, trying to encourage the men to be more involved in the local church. We do that here. We do it everywhere. Let's try to be as involved as we can, both men and women, in the local work. I preached at night at a separate congregation at Buddhaburum on the subject of Paul's epistles to the churches. So just a brief overview from Romans to 2 Thessalonians, what Paul had to say to the churches, and then made some applications to that local congregation. That led to a lengthy Q&A with young people on dating and marriage. I think what happened was, when I was going through this, Romans through 2 Thessalonians, just hitting the highlights in about 45 minutes, when I got to Ephesians 5, because of all this other that had happened, and that was on my mind, I did take some time to talk about some marriage attitudes between husbands and wives. And then the young people that were there, which was primarily young people, they had a lot of questions on dating and marriage. We support Benjamin Nkrumah and his wife Rita and their daughter Adom. That's their word for grace. So little grace. And we support them, and Benjamin is just a fine young man. They're in their early 30s. She is expecting again in December, and I'll have some more to say about that. But I'm so glad we found him and Mario. They are fine men. This is Steve preaching on that Sunday service. They have sort of, theirs is more of a narrow room, but kind of long front to back. There you can get an idea of the church service there at Sun City. This is where Benjamin preaches on a regular basis. I saw this and had to take this picture. I thought of Ephesians 6:4. Here's a man, Isaac. His wife attends. They're members of the church. But he came early and he had the two little children with him. There's one. You can just see their head right up there, just barely. And I thought of Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a little part of the service where you show up early for songs and encouragement, and he was there with the two kids, ready to go. I thought that was encouraging. So fathers, grandfathers, let's bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. During the Bible class hour, this is Rita. She teaches the real little children. Earlier this year, I spoke with the elders, and we have sent money to them to purchase Bible class material. They've never had that before, ever. And they're using that, and they're doing really well with it. They're using the Discovery God's Way, and they're working through that year one, book one. So that's Rita with the small kids. This is two other classes. There's Rita's class in the forefront, then the next age group up. There's an age group after that, but they had already left to go back in the building. They meet outside, and some of the church members helped me earlier this year. Some of you helped me earlier this year to purchase these tents. There's three tents. They cannot meet outside in the rain, obviously. So we helped them to get those tents, and I thank you for that. And then this is the older class that was meeting more of the high school class. So they have three outdoor classes. Again, they're going through that material that we have helped them to get. I had the men's class at one point during that day, and these are the men that have gathered together there under one of those tents. At night, I told you I preached at the Buddhaburum congregation. This is very common over there, not just for buildings, but just houses, businesses. They will start down here, and they'll finish it off, again, cement, concrete block, but then they'll get up here at the top, and they run out of money, and they can't finish it. You'll see this everywhere, where the bottom of a building will be finished, and the top will not be. But that particular congregation meets in the bottom. Afterwards, there were a lot of young people there, and they had a lot of good questions about dating and marriage. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this young man right back here, he raised his hand. He said, "I've got a question, Brother Reeves." He said, "Is it okay if I date three or four girls at the same time?" So we talked about that. Of course, all the girls were laughing and giggling like, "Yeah, right, that's not going to happen." So they had a lot of questions about that, and we got a lot of good accomplished there. On Monday and Tuesday, August the 14th and 15th, at the Sun City Church meeting place, I studied with three sisters. They were raised in an Assemblies of God, a Pentecostal or charismatic type group, by a man that was not their biological father. He kind of adopted them, but he passed away. And somehow they started coming to some Sun City congregation, and two of them that day were baptized. And again, just the same approach. What do y'all need to do? Why do we need to put this off? Let's do this. So we went and baptized them. I taught the men's class that night on the character of Christian men, and again went over some of those same things that I went over in Cape Coast. On the 15th, I had some time to shop with Ben and Rita for some baby items and a refrigerator. They don't have one, and they needed one, a better one. And they've got a baby coming on the way, and they needed some things. And you good brethren gave me money that I wanted to tell you at this point. I'll mention that in just a minute. Let me get through these pictures, and then I'll mention the benevolence. So again, taught that night on the character of Christian men. So this is one of the three sisters getting baptized, Georgina, and her sister on the left, Victoria, and they were baptized into Christ. And it's great to see that. On the right-hand side of the picture is their third sister, and please pray for her. Her name is also Georgina. She wants to study more. She wants to think about that some more. So please pray that she will also be baptized soon. But she attended the baptism of her two sisters. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. I like Paul's statement here, and this is a great prayer for all of us, not just when we're making special trips, but every day, really. Pray that God would open up doors and that the gospel would run. The American Standard says, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Brethren, pray for us that the word of God may run and be glorified, even as also it is with you. The word there means to run fast, to move along speedily. And I do see open doors and God's word running in Ghana and other places around the world. So let's keep praying that that takes place. I wanted to put this particular picture in. This is a prayer after the two sisters are baptized. We came up from the water's edge and we're going back over toward the car. But I chose this particular picture because, do you see this building back here? When we got out of the car to go to the baptism, this building was full of guys doing drugs. You could smell the weed and stuff. They're down there to no good. Well, we came back a week later for another baptism. The whole thing is gone. Somebody reported them and somebody, talked to the landowner. That the place was completely gone because we parked at the same spot where that car is. And I get out and I'm like, wasn't there a building there? And Benjamin said, yeah, it got reported and it was carried off. So those guys had to find some other place for their nefarious activities. The following Sunday, Georgina is given a Bible, and Victoria is given a Bible. Very few of them have their own Bible, and so they're very appreciative to get their own Bible and to start reading that and studying that. This is one of the main members of the Sun City congregation. He sells auto parts. Those are big bins of bolts and screws and different things. He's got all kinds of auto parts stuff inside that shop. And I'm going to say more about him in just a minute. There's a dome. She and I found a little time to do some coloring. So she's a sweet little girl. Rita and I and Benjamin went to a children's store. I wanted to tell you a little bit about some benevolence. So the church, from the church treasury, gave me money for my personal needs, which was traveling, the plane ticket, the food, the lodging, and the transportation, the rental car. The rest of you gave me personal funds, and I kept up with all of that. That was for benevolent needs and helping brethren. So part of that, I wanted to go to Benjamin and Rita because we support them on a regular basis. And they needed a refrigerator, and Benjamin needed a laptop, and they needed some things for this baby that is coming. Near the meeting place, Benjamin and Rita have one room. That's all it is, and there's a bathroom and a shower in there. It's maybe 12 by 12, 12 by 12, okay? And a dome stays in there with them. And so I said to Benjamin, I said, where does a dome sleep? And he said, on the floor, on a mat, a little mat. I said, no, that's not going to work. So I wanted to take some of those funds and buy her a bed. So he has bought her a bed. And then I asked, I said, well, where's the baby going to stay? And they say, well, you know, we typically just put him in the bed with us. And I said, well, you know, don't you have that problem of rolling over on the baby and this and that? And we went through that campaign here years ago, which was good, not to roll over on your baby. And they said, yeah, I mean, that happens. I said, well, that's not going to work. We got to get that baby a crib. So while we were at the store, we helped Benjamin and Rita get a crib and a dome, a bed. Actually, this stuff down here on the bottom is all of that stuff that you put in the sink, the plastic stuff to bathe the baby and all that. They don't have any of that. So we were able to help them with some newborn items that will be coming up. She is going to deliver in December. And there was other part of that money that I gave to Benjamin and Rita, and they're going to save it for December, and they're actually going to be able to pay for the whole birth of the baby, which over there is just a few hundred dollars. It's thousands of dollars here, but just a few hundred dollars over there. So they're going to save that, and I'm so happy that in December they will not have that big burden on them to pay for the delivery of that baby. So that's what we're doing there. Galatians 2:10. James and Peter and John said to Paul and Barnabas, remember the poor, which also I was very zealous to do. Let's remember our brethren in other places around the world. Seth got back from Korea. I'm sure he saw some things there. Other of you travel from time to time. You will see that our brethren in other places just do not have what we have. We take so much for granted. So if we can remember them and help them and do what we can to help them, that'll be great. And I'll say some more about benevolence later. And we will go over time. I apologize for that, but just bear with me. And in Galatians 6:10, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of the faith. Now, that night, Thursday night, we did what is called street preaching. And this is very effective over there. They will set up a platform. Oh, I'm sorry. It looks kind of like this. This is me teaching the men's class. I'm sorry. But that PowerPoint setup looks similar. So me teaching the men's class outside the meeting place underneath one of these tents. And Benjamin is translating for me. On the 16th, we'll get to street preaching in a minute. I met with four ladies who do the regular teaching. And we talked about the class materials, making sure that they know how to use those, and do they have any needs and future plans for the next, what's coming up next in the series. And so we had a good morning discussion on that. At night, I taught a ladies' class on the holy women of old, taken from 1 Peter 3:5, Old Testament godly women, Ruth, Esther, Abigail, others. On the 17th, we did the same thing that we did with Benjamin and Daniel on the 3rd and the 4th. We had a special study with men on institutionalism. So we met with four preachers to study about the work and organization of the church. I delivered two of the lessons. Steve delivered two of the lessons. I spoke on the all-sufficiency of the local church, which we need to hear here. And maybe in the future I can bring that lesson. What happened in the 1950s and 60s was brethren stopped believing in the all-sufficiency of the local church. They started believing, well, we need the church and some other thing. So let's build some other thing. And then that's where what we call institutions. These are not local churches. They're institutions. They're businesses. They have a board of directors. And so it's a separate thing. So we stopped believing that we can do what we need to do in the local church. And we added to that these other institutions. It sounded good at the time. And many people jumped on board. But it's just not the Bible pattern. So we've got to get back to what we call the all-sufficiency of the local church. I also spoke on cooperation, the sponsoring church. And then at night, there was street preaching in the evening, and I preached on what is a church of Christ. So during the daytime, we studied with these men, and I'm following up with two of them right now. One of them got married yesterday, and they are rethinking, restudying, and some have already made that decision to make those changes. That's not a very flattering picture. It looks like I'm barking orders there. I promise you I was not mean when I was talking about the all-sufficiency of the local church. I wasn't mean, but it's not a very flattering picture, but I'm doing one of the lessons there. And it was just a great time with them where you can just get down into the details of the Bible pattern and then a lot of questions and so forth afterwards. Then, at night, here's the street preaching. This works very well for them. And some of the brethren here gave generously earlier this year to me, and I sent that money to Benjamin so that they could purchase these things that you're going to see in these pictures to help them preach the gospel. This would probably not work over here because of just different things, but there it works really well to set up outside in a public area and just blast the message as loud as you can all out into the community. People gather around. They have baptisms that come from it. So the first thing you're going to want to notice is this platform. So the brethren here that gave for that, it went to build this platform, the PowerPoint projector and the screen. And this big open area is just a common area in the community. The young people use it to play soccer. But we set up that night. This is Daniel is out front running the laptop. And I preached on what is the Church of Christ. It allows you to be elevated. There's large speakers that are broadcasting the message out into the community. People walking by, you'll see sometimes they'll just stand there and listen, which is good. People walking up and down the street, sometimes they'll come and listen. So that was a very good night for street preaching. There's a little bit of the... That's not a halo. I mean, that's not what that is. There's a platform there, and it not only allows you to be elevated, it kind of reminds me of Nehemiah 8, the pulpit of wood, where he could be above the people, but it also allows them to mount the screen on the front. That all works very good. So I appreciate the brethren who gave for that. There is, not only is Daniel running the PowerPoint, but he's also translating as well. And those are some people that have gathered around for that. These big speakers were also a part of the purchase, the platform, the projector, the screen. And there is these large, what they call trumpet speakers. It kind of looks like a trumpet. I didn't get a picture of those, but those are up on a big pole. And that broadcasts it out. But these are some very large speakers that get the message out as well. Acts 5:42, they preached in the temple and at home. Acts 8:4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 19:9, Paul went into the school of Tyrannus and preached. And in chapter 20, verse 20, he preached publicly and from house to house. So they do a lot of different kinds of preaching, and this public community broadcasting the word out preaching works very well for them. And I want to thank the brethren who helped me to get that equipment to Benjamin so that they can do that. They use it quite regularly. Every few months, they will set up a major venue like that. On the 18th, again, we met with the four preachers to continue our study. This time, I delivered a lesson on keeping the local church organization pure. And then we did some visiting in the evening with these same preachers and did follow-up and study with them. On Saturday the 19th, there was a preacher training session all throughout the day. This is to get new men interested in preaching. Get young men coming up helping in the work. I delivered three lessons and Steve delivered three lessons. I spoke on preacher training, expository preaching, and developing leaders. It was well attended. It was over 30 men there. And it was a very good study. The preachers are telling us, if we're supposed to get rid of these institutions, which some of them involve church schools and church colleges and stuff like that, how are we supposed to train our men? Well, like the New Testament teaches, you do that in the local congregation. Acts 13:1, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. You do the training in the local church. So here is a preacher who is a friend of Daniel and Benjamin. His name is Fifi. You'll like that, Fifi. His name is Fifi. He's a great guy, and he translated for me on this occasion. I'm doing a lesson on how to do expository preaching, I think, on that one. Well attended, good group of men, and many of them are excited about actually... I'm very big on hands-on. Are we going to actually go out and do this kind of thing? And I've heard since leaving that we're getting this underway. This young man right here attends at Sun City with Benjamin, and he preached the Sunday that I got back. He preached a sermon, and he wants to start up on that. And this brother right here, it's one of these men back here, he wants to start preaching, and he's going to start it on that really soon. So I'm really excited that we're getting that going. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. How do we train the next generation? In the local congregation, we take the Word of God and we pass that on to others. That's the Bible way. And we do that in the local church. The things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. They have a very big thing going on in Ghana where you can't be a preacher unless you go to a preacher school. And they've just completely misunderstood that and have blown that out of proportion. And we've got to get back to the local congregation training men to preach. On August the 20th, Sunday, August the 20th, I taught the new converts class at the Sun City Church. They have several new converts on the subject of new creatures in Christ. I preached a sermon, Why Are We Here? It was a study of worship in the life of Christ. I studied with the men after the service on the subject of the worthy man. If Proverbs 31 is the worthy woman, Job 31, take a look at that sometime, is the qualities of the worthy man. I talked with a few men about being elders. They do have some men coming up that will be good elders one day if they keep on that track. And so we talked about that, and I preached that night again at Buddhaburum on the subject of let no man despise your youth. And again, they had the young people that were there. This is the Sunday service, a good crowd there, and this is the congregation at Sun City. This is just about everybody gathered together. So they've got a pretty big group there, and Benjamin and Rita are doing a very good work there. These are the Bible class teachers, and Georgina was just baptized like the week before, and they want to get her in because she's actually a school teacher. And these are the ladies right now that are volunteering to teach those kids, from the little kids up to the high school and or about that age. And they're doing a great job. This is Benjamin. He's doing a great work. And by the way, while we're on that note, they have a lady there, and we'll see a picture in just a second. Her business is to make shirts and clothing for people. So Benjamin, he gets a new shirt about every other week or so. That's pretty awesome. I love that deal. She just brings him a shirt. So that's great. It's kind of like when Linda Hensley brings me the banana bread or the pumpkin bread. Benjamin gets a shirt. Well, that week, she made us shirts. So there you go. That's great. Of course, I had to get another picture with the dome. She's sweet. These three ladies. The lady on the left, Gladys, she and her husband own this home. It's like a compound. It's got like three, maybe two big buildings with different rooms and so forth in it. And then there's a big wall around it, almost like a compound or a villa type thing. And what happened was, in COVID, when COVID was going on in 2020, brethren were deciding, you know, do we still meet and all of that going on. And what happened was, instead of everybody coming together, brethren started meeting in different people's homes and smaller groups and so forth. And they realized what was going on was, they were all members of that Buddha Burum congregation that I showed you earlier, where the building wasn't finished off on the top. They were all members there, and they started meeting individually different places. And after a little while, they realized, you know, several miles away from this Buddha Burum congregation are a lot of brethren over in this area. And that ended up becoming the Sun City congregation. But where are we going to meet? This lady, Gladys, on the left, and her husband opened up their home. They could have rented it out. They could have used it for other things, but they opened up that big old space and let the church meet there. And just think about this, brethren, for a minute. How would you think about three or four times a week the entire church being over at your property? They're just constantly there. Brethren constantly there, constantly coming in and out. And my point is, it's a big sacrifice. They've just opened it up. They said, look, you can use it. And they're very generous. They're very giving. She on the left and Rita in the middle and Jennifer on the right. Those were the three ladies that cooked for us just constantly. When they would finish one meal, it was almost as if they had to start the very next meal. And just constantly working. And they are great servants in the kingdom. So I thought of Luke 8:3. Sometimes the ladies get neglected in these kinds of works. In Luke 8:3, there were several women that ministered to Jesus and those 12 men. And we think about Jesus and the apostles and we forget about the women. But they ministered to them. And you got to eat and you've got to, you know, have other things taken care of for you. And the godly ladies do that. And in Romans 16:1 and 2, Phoebe, Paul says she's a helper of many and of mine. And so I'm indebted to those women. This is Gladys, and for some reason I'm blanking on his name and it's terrible. But they, Brown is their last name, and they and their children own this place, and this is Benjamin's office area. But they've given up much of their housing compound for the church to worship in and be in. And so they're very giving. And I thought of Romans 16:5, where Paul commends Priscilla and Aquila and the church that meets in their house. So there's a lot that goes on to volunteer, to give up, so that brethren can come together and meet. These are the men that I met with. And maybe one day we will hear that they are elders in the Lord's body. Great group of men. These are one of the typical meals that those ladies made down at the bottom, chicken and rice, a lot of chicken and rice, but you see the salad there. That was watermelon on that day. This up here is very good. They call it ketchup, but it's a tomato base, but it's got salt and pepper and garlic and some other spices, and I was just pouring that all over everything. It's very good, but that's one of the meals that kind of a typical meal there. And there's another one. Again, a lot of rice and chicken. And one thing I had a hard time with was the hot dog right there. They call it sausage, but I kind of had a hard time with that. But everything was great. A lot of meals at this table. This is in Benjamin's little office area. A lot of meals there. A lot of discussions, a lot of Bible study, a lot of encouragement. And it was great to be with, of course, Steve Walker there on the left. Steve has been with the Kingston Springs congregation on the west side of Nashville for several years. And it was good to go with him. I appreciate his good work and had a lot of great lessons. And it was good to be with him. So just a lot of time spent in that week and a half around that table. Kind of wrapping up the week then, and about to head back on Monday the 21st. We visit with church members to encourage them and build them up. I preach at the Sun City congregation in the evening on the subject of the work of the church. That night, and Benjamin said they've never done it before in their entire existence, but the Pentecostal church literally set up right across the street from where the church meets, and they were blasting as loud as they can blast. They had the band set up. They were going at it. And it was really hard to give that lesson on the work of the church, but we made it through. The next night, or the next day, there was more visitation. I preached at Buddhaburam on the work of the church. And that was very productive, because at the end of the lesson, the questions were, you mean we can't take our money from the church treasury and just spend it on anything and everything? That's what they're currently doing. And they've never been told that with regard to benevolence from the church treasury, there's 8 examples in the New Testament, and it's always needy saints. It's never just general benevolence. But they're taking it and they're just spending it on anything and everything that's called a good work. And they've never been taught. So there was a lengthy discussion about the practice of general benevolence. And they've inherited that from us. Not from us, but American brethren, and they have to be taught differently on that. On Monday or Tuesday, the 21st or the 22nd, this young lady was baptized. I was talking with her mother, who was a Christian, visiting with her, and Benjamin was outside talking with this young lady, and she wanted to be baptized. So good for Benjamin with regard to encouraging her. On the left is the grandmother, Hannah. In the middle is the mother, Essie. And then this young lady. And there's 3 generations now of Christians. And it reminds me of 2 Timothy 1:5 about Timothy's mother and grandmother who passed on their faith. And so they were very happy. And Hannah told me as we were taking this picture, I was just talking with my granddaughter the other day about how that she needs to become a Christian. So that materialized, and that family is very happy. Hannah's husband has passed away, and Essie's husband, I believe, as well. So it's these 3 ladies just on their own doing the best they can to serve the Lord, and they're doing a great job. So there's Linda. There's the lady that made my shirt back here. And these are 2 apprentices that work with her, 2 young ladies that are learning how to sew. So while we're on this note, let me mention the rest of the money that you brethren gave me for benevolence went, and Benjamin has an accounting and a business degree background. He taught business courses before preaching full time. He's taken upon himself to take a big chunk of money and divvy it up among 10 women in the local church. And that money is going to be used to help start their food businesses. Linda is not one of them, but this picture reminds me that I wanted to tell that part of the story before I end. These women can go out and sell food items. They will do that sometimes in the front of their home. Sometimes they'll carry it on their head. Sometimes they'll set up at an open-air market. But he's going to take that big block of money and divide it up and help 10 women so that they can be more financially independent and stable and take care of their children. And that's just a great thing that they're going to do. All of them are going to do food items, because in Ghana, they have something going on there that we don't have going on here. We usually go to the store and buy stuff and come home and cook it, right? Or we'll go to a restaurant. Those are basically the 2 things. they have a third thing that they do, and that is, if you don't want to go to the store and buy something, and if you don't want to go to a restaurant, you just literally walk down the street and you just buy from people things that they're selling. Somebody might be selling fruit, somebody might be selling drinks or rice or chicken on a stick that's been skewered or something, barbecued. And it's just it's up and down every street, it's at every turn. You hardly have to walk anywhere and you're going to find somebody that's selling some food item. And that's a very big part of their culture. So all of these ladies are going to engage in those kinds of things. And I'm really happy that we can help them in that way. It's that, catch a fish, feed for a day, teach someone to fish, eat for a lifetime. It's that kind of thing that's going on. And so this money is startup money, and he's going to watch over all of it. He's going to keep track of all of that and help them get on their feet. Their biggest problem is the startup part. They just don't have enough to get started. But after they get started, they can do well at keeping it going. We went to visit. So she's a new convert. She hadn't been a Christian very long. We went to encourage her. Again, that's how they carry their little babies on their back. Her name was Patricia. And this other lady is a member of the church. They live next door to each other. You can kind of get an idea a little bit of their home there. On the way back to the church building, we came across Mary. She's a member of the church. This is exactly one of those little market things. So she's selling all kinds of stuff. It goes back in there, and there's all kinds of items. Here's some cooked items out in here. Her name is Mary. She's a very active member of the church, but she's already got her little business going, and Benjamin wants to help some other ladies to do the same thing. There was a outing on Wednesday the 23rd with Ben and Rita to encourage them, spend some time with them. Then we met in the room to assess the work we did in Ghana. That was very productive and also making plans for the future. We prepared to depart on Thursday, and we arrive in Nashville on the 25th. During that outing, I got a chance to meet Benjamin's parents. He's a fisherman. He grew up as a fisherman his whole life. He fished. And his mother is a fishmonger. That's the term that they use. She is drying little sardines. There's fish inside these racks. These are racks that are stacked up. But inside, on screen or wire, are little sardines and fish. And she's drying them in these heat ovens, outdoor ovens. And so Benjamin was raised in a fishing family. But it's a very godly father and mother. And raised him to read his Bible and learn his Bible. And you can tell he's a little embarrassed there. He was translating for me, and I was telling his parents how great of a person he was. And he told me later, he said, I had a hard time talking about myself. He's a very humble man, but raised in just a great way. He still has family that fishes. So the boat on the right belongs to his uncle, and then the boat on the left, I believe, belongs to a member of the church. They live on the coast, on the Atlantic coast, and so fishing is very big there, and many of them are still fishing. I did not put videos in this particular report, but I actually have some videos, young people, if you're interested in watching. These nets have to be mended, and I have videos of men mending their nets, just like you read in the Gospels when Jesus came to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Here's a boat that is being made for the first time and carved out of wood. And I think of Benjamin in 2 Timothy 3:15 and how from a babe he learned the scriptures. That's all that I have. I appreciate your time and extra time spent this evening going through that. Again, I want to thank the elders for their support and contribution and willingness to let me go. I'm glad that God gives me the health to do that. I think some of that was instilled in me by my father to go other places and help brethren in other places, and I appreciate my father for doing that. But I could not do this without you. I cannot go. I have to have you to do that, and I just want you to know that, and I appreciate all of you and the help that you give so that I can go do that. I'm thankful to Sherry for the time that she lets me go. She steps aside and lets me do my work, and I appreciate her for that. So I hope that we can do some good. Lord willing, we may move in a different direction next year. We also support Mario and his wife Wilmi Rubio in the Philippines. We may be moving in that direction next year for a trip. We'll see. But I appreciate all the good that you do so that we can do these great things. And God indeed does open a door to the Gentiles. What a great thing. There may be someone here this evening that just simply, like those good and honest hearts in Ghana, they just simply say, well, you know, I need to be baptized. Giovanni texted me the other day and he said, I need to be baptized. Pretty simple. Pretty simple when you think about it. And that's what we want. We just want open and honest and simple, and I just need to do what God wants me to do. And if I can help you to do that this evening, the water's ready. We'd love to put you down and bring you back up a new creature in Christ, where the angels in heaven rejoice and where we rejoice. And what a great thing that is. Or there may be a child of God who, in examining their life, says, I need to come back in some way. I need to be better. Servant, we can help you to do that as well. We can pray for you. But if you have any need, why would you come as we stand and as we sing?